Welcome to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney R.J. Alexander, sponsored by R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm of Big Solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas. This show discusses Texas personal injury law and the effects that it can have on an injury victim, what you should do if you are injured by the negligence, carelessness, or intentional wrongdoing of another person or entity, and how you can best assist your attorney in winning your case. This podcast does not create an attorney-client privilege, and in the event that you are injured, you should contact the firm directly. This podcast is not a substitute for direct legal advice. It is purely informational. Good morning. This is Rashard Alexander from RJ Alexander Law, PLLC, helping heal Houston one case at a time. We are a personal injury law firm that is focused on car accidents and personal injury cases statewide. The topic of discussion today is Kanika Jenkins, the Texas Survival Statute, and the Texas Wrongful Death Statute. Now, you may be familiar with who Kanika Jenkins is already. You may not be. So what I will do is I'll give you a brief background of what happened with her situation, what happened with her family and her, and how these types of circumstances may apply to Texas and how the law regarding the wrongful death and survival statutes would apply in a case such as hers, more than likely. Well, Kanika Jenkins was a 19-year-old young lady who was a citizen or a inhabitant of the Rosemont, Illinois area. She went to a party on September 9th with a bunch of her friends. Her mother lent her her car. They all piled up in the car. They drove to Chicago O'Hare Hotel, like I said, in Rosemont, Illinois, and they went to basically what was a hotel room party inside of that hotel. Now, when they got there, they partied or whatever have you. We don't really know exactly what took place inside of the room. There are videos circulating around the web with conspiracy theorists theorizing that, you know, they plotted to kill her. Her friends plotted to kill her. They knew that she was going to die there. Nothing has been confirmed regarding any of that. But what we do know is that she was found deceased in the hotel's freezer later that night. The next day she was found. Now, the thing about it is that her friends took her phone and they actually took her mother's car that they drove there in, and they left her. They didn't know where she was, and they just left her there. Now, the mother, Teresa Martin, found out later that night. They went to the party on Friday night, and so Saturday morning is basically when she found out that her daughter did not return with the rest of them. So she tried to file a missing persons report. And her other daughter tried to file a missing persons report. And basically, the police tell her what they always tell people, that, you know, wait 24 hours before you can file one or whatever have you. So the family is concerned, of course, and they go back over to the hotel and they start to knock on the doors of the other hotel doors on that same floor level. The police are called out to the scene by the hotel staff because the hotel didn't want to review the footage of the video cameras in the hotel, claiming that they hadn't seen her, she wasn't around or anything, something of that nature. So the police arrive on the scene. The mother pleads with one of the police officers to please review the footage. My daughter is missing. She's been in this hotel. This is where she came to party. And so one of the officers finally reviews the footage and sees that Kanika Jenkins was stumbling around the hotel sometime that morning. She looks to be inebriated or under some substance. Autopsy reports were later done claiming that her death was an accident and she died from hypothermia inside of the freezer. Well, the thing about it is she's on this video footage and she's stumbling around the hotel. Eventually, she walks off of the camera in the hotel's kitchen, and you don't get to see exactly when she walks into the freezer. And so, you know, people have theorized that, oh, someone put her there. Oh, you know, well, did this really happen this way that they said it did or whatnot? And we don't really know. We don't really know. But what we do know is that the hotel refused to respond when they knew that someone's life was in danger. And she was at their hotel, and they had a responsibility to at least look for her. And they refused to do that. So the question now that we are posing to everyone else is, or what we're posing to ourselves and what we're thinking about is, what would be the liability, or how would you go about trying to get some type of financial compensation for the family in a case such as this, where this child has been missing, or a young lady has been missing for almost 24 hours, freezing inside of a freezer, and if they had just taken the time to look for her, they may have prevented her death. In the state of Texas, we have two statutes that attempt to make family members and the estate whole when someone dies in circumstances such as this, whether it be negligence or intentional wrongdoing. And those are the Texas Wrongful Death Statute and the Texas Survival Statute. Talk about the Texas Survival Statute first. Now, this statute will allow an estate or the legal representative of the person who is deceased to bring a survival action. Essentially, what they're doing is they're allowing the lawsuit to survive the death of the person who was deceased. So even though Kanika is no longer with us, her mother or her legal representative or her heirs could bring a lawsuit against the hotel in her stead. The statute is going to allow her lawsuit that she would have been able to bring for her pain and suffering, her mental anguish, is going to allow them to pursue that on behalf of her. Now, the damages that would be incorporated in the Texas Survival Statute or in a lawsuit like this would be basically her funeral expenses, her medical bills for maybe treating the hypothermia and any other pain that she had as a result of that, any type of property damage that she may have suffered, lost wages, and the like. Now, in a personal injury case, you have what's called a statute of limitations. And what a statute of limitations is basically the amount of time that you can go before filing suit before your claim is forever barred from being able to be litigated in a court of law. So in the state of Texas, the general statute of limitations is 2 years for a personal injury matter. And in a survival action, it's the same amount of time, but you can toll your action for up to 1 year after the date of the death of the person. So you still have 2 years to file a lawsuit, but you have almost an extra year there for someone after they perish, because there may be a circumstance where, you know, like in this situation right here, they weren't exactly aware of what caused her death, so they were waiting for the autopsy report. So the family may need that extra month, 2 months that it took to get this information out, and so that's one reason why the Texas legislature decided to allow that toll period. Now, how we just talked about the Texas Survival Statute and how it's only basically there for the estate, the heirs, or a legal representative to act on behalf of the deceased. The opposite is somewhat true in a wrongful death case. In a wrongful death case, the lawsuit is available to the surviving spouse, the children, and parents of the deceased. And that deceased person could actually be a child that wasn't born alive. So let's say like you have a case where, the parents are alleging some type of medical malpractice and something was done to the child in utero and the child just died as a result of that. Well, that's a case where a wrongful death action could be brought. And so under the Wrongful Death Act, under the wrongful death statute, they're basically the beneficiaries, the people we just talked about before, are able to recover those damages as a result of losing that person that was held dear to them. So, you know, like I said before, in that Texas survival statute, you're bringing a lawsuit in place or surviving the person who passed away. In a Texas wrongful death case, the people who you leave behind as the deceased, the people you leave behind are the people who are actually able to bring a lawsuit because of that. And, you know, well, I mean, it's a number of different things that they could bring it as a result of, you know, but I mean, generally speaking, it's not because of any actual injuries that you sustained. It's about the loss of the love that they now have to endure as a result of you no longer being here. Now, the statute of limitations on a personal injury case, like we said before, is normally 2 years. But in a situation with a wrongful death case, depending on the type of case or depending on the circumstances surrounding the death, you could actually maybe extend the limitations up to another 2 years, depending on if it was a product defect or product liability case. A product defect or product liability case is when someone, is injured by something that someone manufactures, or if an entity creates a certain product, like let's say we're on the road and there's a car that every time it is tapped from behind on the gas tank, it explodes no matter how slight the tap is. Well, you know, that's a product defect or product liability case. So the statute of limitations could actually be told up to another 2 years on a case like that. Bringing it back home, in Kanika Jenkins' case, if this was in Texas, we're not arguing whether it would be successful, whether the family could actually win in court, but the two actions that they could bring would be the Texas wrongful death statute and the Texas survival statute. Now, thank you for tuning in to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney R.J. Alexander, sponsored by R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm with big solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas.